Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Minors and Miranda Rights Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On June 16, 2011, the Supreme Court announced its decision in JDB versus North Carolina. This case concerns a 13-year-old, JDB, who was questioned by a uniformed police officer and school administrators in a closed-door conference room at JDB's school. Before the questioning began, the police officer did not Mirandize JDB, give him the opportunity to call his legal guardian, or tell him that he was free to leave the room. The question in this case is whether the age of a child subjected to police questioning is relevant to the custody analysis of Miranda versus Arizona. In an opinion delivered by Justice Sotomayor, the court held by a vote of 5-4, that a child's age properly informs Miranda custody analysis. Justices Kennedy, Ginsburg, Breyer, and Kagan joined Justice Sotomayor's opinion. Justice Alito filed a dissenting opinion, which was joined by Chief Justice Roberts and Justices Scalia and Thomas. To discuss the case, we have Carissa Hessick, who is a professor at the Sandra Day O'Connor College of Law at Arizona State University. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Hessick.
The well-known 1966 Supreme Court case Miranda versus Arizona requires law enforcement officers to give suspects the familiar warning, the right to remain silent, the right to an attorney, so on and so forth. Now, law enforcement officers do not have to give Miranda warnings every single time that they talk to a suspect. Warnings are only required if a suspect is in custody and if he or she is being interrogated. Because custodial interrogation triggers Miranda warnings and attendant rights, over the years, a significant amount of case law has been decided regarding when a suspect is considered to be in custody and the types of police and suspect interactions that constitute interrogation. Previous Supreme Court decisions dictate that a suspect is in custody if she is subject to formal arrest or to restraint on her freedom of movement of the degree associated with formal arrest. Cases involving formal arrests are straightforward. Miranda warnings must be given by law enforcement wishing to interrogate suspects. However, the question whether a defendant has had his or her freedom of movement restrained to the degree associated with formal arrest, but hasn't actually been subject to a formal arrest, those cases and that question are less clear. Courts generally, and the Supreme Court in particular, have heard a large number of cases involving various factual scenarios and must decide in those cases whether various facts suggest sufficient restriction on a suspect's freedom of movement to constitute custody. JDB versus North Carolina, which the Supreme Court decided on June 16th, is one such case. In particular, it addressed the question whether a juvenile suspect's age is a relevant consideration when determining whether that suspect is in custody for Miranda purposes. Five justices, Justices Sotomayor, Kennedy, Ginsburg, Breyer, and Kagan, decided that age is a relevant factor. Four dissenting justices, Justices Alito, Scalia, Thomas, and Chief Justice Roberts, disagreed. The justices in the majority did not decide whether the particular juvenile in this case, JDB, was in fact in custody, and thus whether Miranda warnings had been required during his interrogation. Instead, they reversed the North Carolina Supreme Court decision, which had held that age was not relevant, and they remanded the case to the state courts for a custody determination that includes consideration of JDB's age. The disagreement between the parties in JDB, and ultimately the disagreement between the majority and dissenting justices, revolves around whether a suspect's age is an objective factor that police officers can easily account for in their on-the-scene determinations regarding whether Miranda warnings are necessary. In previous opinions, the court has often stressed that the custody determination must be easy for police officers to apply in spur-of-the-moment situations. And the two JDB decisions, disagree whether age is an objective factor that officers can easily incorporate into their custody analysis. To understand why that disagreement was dispositive in this case, it's important to first understand the court's prior cases in this area, in particular, that the court has previously explained that the custody determination for Miranda purposes is an objective inquiry. So, for example, in the 1994 case of Stansbury versus California, the court explained that, quote, the initial determination of custody depends on the objective circumstances of the interrogation, not on the subjective views harbored by either the interrogating officers or the person being questioned. And the court has also explained that an objective test for whether a suspect is in custody is preferable to a subjective test, in part because it does not place upon the police the burden of anticipating the frailties or idiosyncrasies of every person whom they question. So in the many cases that the court has decided before JDB, it's had to set up the various criteria that the court consider appropriate when applying this reasonable person standard. It has said that factors such as the location of the interrogation, whether a suspect is placed in handcuffs, those sorts of factors, including the length of interview, the number of officers present, these are the sorts of objective factors that the court has said are relevant to the determination of whether a suspect is in custody. As for factors that the court has indicated are irrelevant in determining whether a person is in custody, the court has noted that whether a defendant has been drinking earlier in the day, whether a defendant is emotionally distraught, and whether a defendant has prior criminal justice experience, all of those are not relevant for the custody determination. All of those are subjective and thus not, and also not easy for police officers to incorporate in their analysis. So as I mentioned before, the fundamental question in JDB versus North Carolina was whether the minor defendant's age is a relevant objective factor that police can easily incorporate into their custody analysis. Writing for the majority, Justice Sotomayor asserts that age is such a factor, whereas writing for the dissent, Justice Alito disagrees. Now, it's interesting to note that these two justices, Justice Sotomayor and Justice Alito, are both former prosecutors. Alito spent many years as a federal prosecutor, and Sotomayor previously worked in the New York District Attorney's Office. Even though both of them, I'm sure at various points, interacted with law enforcement officers who had to make important Miranda decisions, they came out, obviously, on opposite ends of the decision as to whether this is a factor that police officers can easily incorporate into their custody analysis. So let me give you a brief overview of the two opinions and close with some brief thoughts about the larger implications of this case. Looking first at the majority opinion, the majority treated whether a child's age will affect a child's opinion as to whether he or she is free to leave as a very common sense determination. It said that a reasonable child is subject to police questioning will sometimes feel pressured to submit when a reasonable adult will be free to go. The majority stated that courts can account for that reality without doing any damage to the objective nature of the custody analysis. And that is because the court surveyed a number of its old opinions that said, at various points, that there's a common sense conclusion associated with the fact of a child's age, that the law itself has historically reflected the assumption that children characteristically lack the capacity to exercise mature judgment and possess only an incomplete ability to understand the world around them, and indeed noted a number of other areas in the common law that when reasonable person standards are employed, the common law accounts for the fact that children are not the same as adults. For example, the court relied on negligence suits where the reasonable person standard is different than the standard that's used for adults. So what precisely was the holding of JDD versus North Carolina? It was that so long as the child's age was known to the officer at the time of police questioning, or if the child's age would have been objectively apparent to a reasonable officer. Its conclusion in the custody analysis is consistent with the objective nature of that test. Now, the dissent, interestingly, opens with the fact that the majority's analysis seems very appealing. Justice Alito opens his dissent by saying, "The court's decision in this case may, on first consideration, seem to be modest and sensible. But in truth, it is neither. It is fundamentally inconsistent with one of the main justifications for the Miranda rule, the perceived need for a clear rule that can be easily applied in this case." So what was it precisely that the dissent thought was perhaps imprecise or unclear or would make future cases difficult for law enforcement officers? It was the idea that age is a personal characteristic. The majority thought that age needed to be taken into account in the reasonable person determination because it will affect a suspect's susceptibility to coercive pressures. But as Justice Alito noted, age is in no way the only personal characteristic that may correlate with pliability. And thus, he concluded that in future cases, the court will be forced to choose between two unpalatable alternatives. It may choose to limit the JDB decision by arbitrarily distinguishing a suspect's age from other personal characteristics, such as intelligence, education, occupation, or prior experience with law enforcement, that may also correlate with susceptibility to coercive pressures. Or if the court is unwilling to draw these arbitrary lines, it will be forced to affect a fundamental transformation of the Miranda custody test from a clear, easily applied prophylactic rule into a highly fact-intensive standard resembling the voluntariness test that the Miranda court found to be unsatisfactory. JDB is an interesting case for, I think, two important reasons. First, it demonstrates that Justice Alito's common sense and persuasive approach to law enforcement issues on the court is now, at times, in conflict with Justice Sotomayor's also pragmatic approach to law enforcement issues. The justices on the court, depending on which way they want to vote in a particular case, and assuming that Justice Sotomayor and Justice Alito disagree, will be able to find someone who can write an opinion that explains in very simple terms what law enforcement officers must do on the ground and to make, as both of these opinions do, persuasive cases as to why the court ought to adopt one rule or another. But I think that JDB versus North Carolina is also interesting for another reason. Although a criminal justice-related issue, it's not necessarily one that's limited to Miranda. And that's that JDB involves one of a growing number of court decisions involving juveniles in the criminal justice system, where the court elects to fashion special rules for juveniles. Previous terms saw opinions in Graham versus Florida and Roper versus Simmons involving both the death penalty and life sentences, where the court adopted different legal rules for juveniles and relied quite a bit on social science data. JDB versus North Carolina also includes such analysis. It explains how juveniles are different from adults, and it recounts a number of pieces of social science data and studies explaining how juveniles are at times more susceptible to coercion than to adults. So it's possible that we will see JDB versus North Carolina, just as we've seen Graham versus Florida and Roper versus Simmons in this case, be used to further extend different rules for juveniles than for adults.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.